Live from WNUR News, I'm Seeger Gray. You're listening to the 6 o'clock news on WNUR 89.3 FM HD1, Evanston, Chicago. It's Wednesday, February 16th, 2022. Tonight on WNUR News, Wildcats from where winter weather's warmer chafe at Chicago chills. Taylor Swift and Ed Sheeran release a new duet. Olympic figure skaters wow in Beijing. Those stories and more coming up right now. Thanks for tuning in on this Wednesday evening in Campus Local tonight. It may have been a bit warmer today, but we all know more snow and single-digit temperatures are to come. Reporter Catherine Odom looks at the science behind Chicago winters and talks to Chicago transplants from warm places about their transition.
If you're not from the Midwest and you tell someone you go to Northwestern, chances are one of the first things they'll ask you about is the weather. I mean, I get it. It's super cold here. My hair freezes if I go outside when it's wet, and every morning when I walk to class, tears stream down my face from the wind. But it's actually not as cold as it could be, and the reason has to do with the lake. But I'm not a scientist, so I asked Earth Science PhD student Anastasia Montgomery about it.
The lake is like a really important temperature modulator for like basically whatever is happening within the city of Chicago and Evanston, because water takes like a lot more time to like absorb heat in the summertime. That results in like this cool lake breeze that helps moderate our really like extremely hot summers. And then the opposite is true in the wintertime.
Montgomery added that although it may not feel like it, winters in Chicago are actually getting warmer because of climate change.
In Chicago, winter is warmer than it was, you know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 250 years ago. We know that for a fact, and it will continue to warm.
And although the lake keeps us a bit warmer and climate change is raising average temperatures, it certainly doesn't mean we don't have to bundle up in the winter.
Whenever there is cold air hitting your face, it will feel freezing. And me saying, well, technically the lake air is like 5 degrees warmer than the land air, that doesn't matter to someone who's being whipped by like 18 degrees Fahrenheit air versus 22 degree Fahrenheit air.
Montgomery grew up in both Russia and the Chicago suburbs, so she's been dealing with the cold her whole life. Students from warmer places, though, have had to adjust to Northwestern's frigid winters, which can be a formidable task. Weinberg sophomore Jillian Gracie is originally from Atlanta, Georgia. She said the transition to Midwestern winters was
debilitating, to be honest.
She said the winters here are dramatically different from the ones she was used to at home.
My parents called me the other day complaining. They were saying, yeah, you know, it's pretty cold around here. It got down to 40 degrees today.
Gracie said she also didn't expect the days to be as short as they are in the Chicago area. On the shortest day of 2021, the sun set at 4:24 p.m. in Chicago for a total of 9 hours and 11 minutes of sunlight. In Atlanta, the sun set over an hour later at 5:32 p.m.
I get caught out after dark all the time because, you know, it'll be 4 p.m. and I'm thinking, you know, it's late afternoon. I should have plenty of time left to, you know, do what I need to do and get back home. But then the sun sets and then it's like nighttime at 4:30.
Medill senior Zach Watson said they weren't expecting the early sunsets either. But now they make sure to schedule their classes for maximum daylight and even use an indoor sunlight lamp. Watson grew up in Winter Park, Florida, which, ironically, is hot and humid year-round.
I remember in high school, we would almost never have days, even in December before winter break or in January after, where we had to wear long sleeves.
Watson said they were completely unprepared for the winter when they arrived in Evanston.
I truly had no winter clothing at all, not even long sleeve shirts when I first came here. So one of the first things that I did when I moved in freshman year, when my parents were still here, is we went to the L.L. Bean outlet at Old Orchard Mall, and my mom found a salesperson and went, "What is the most heavy duty jacket that you own? Because my child needs the most heavy duty jacket."
Weinberg sophomore Armand Bonsali is an international student from Mumbai, India. He said he had a similar experience when he first arrived in Evanston last winter.
I've never been in a place that's been this cold. Never seen like snowfall. I came with basically no winter clothes. The first day I landed, I ran and I went shopping.
Despite their initial lack of winter clothes, both Bonsali and Watson actually said they prefer the cold weather in Evanston to the heat and humidity of their hometowns. Gracie, however, said she sometimes dreams of going to school somewhere warmer.
Do I sometimes wish I had gone to school in California? Yes, I do sometimes wish I'd gone to school in California.
Though we may all dream of being safe and warm in LA sometimes, the reality of living in the Midwest is putting on our winter coats and getting through the season as best we can. As a local, Montgomery said she recommends layering up.
Get a good winter coat, get a good pair of gloves, and get a kind of neck scarf that you can put over your face, you know? As long as you're bundled up, anything is possible.
Bonsali said it's been a lot of trial and error to figure out what works best for him. Gracie added that she didn't understand the importance of a good hat before moving here.
Gracie, Watson, and Bonsali all agreed their favorite part of the winter is the snow.
When it first snows, it's really pretty. And even now, 4 years in, I still feel like I'm the little kid.
Montgomery said she often finds newcomers to Chicago are more excited about the snow than jaded natives.
If you're not from Chicago, like, keep that romance alive. Look at the snow, be in awe of it. Just get the right gear, and then you can just enjoy all the fun that snow can bring.
Staying warm in Evanston, I'm Catherine Odom, WNUR News.
Moving on to arts and entertainment, calling all Swifties, on Friday, Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift released a new duet and music video for the song The Joker and the Queen. Here's reporter Izzy Pareja with reviews from some fans.
The Joker and the Queen.
Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift released a new music video this past Thursday, gifting fans with their first collaboration since Swift's Red Taylor's version. The track, The Joker and the Queen, was originally included on Sheeran's Equals album, which came out this past fall. Since its release, Sheeran had hinted at the feature for months without confirming Swift's involvement. Her inclusion in the project was officially announced only a few days prior to the video and recording release.
I actually had no idea, and that's, like, really bad. Usually I, like, see on Instagram or TikTok, I see, like, people posting about it, but I have not seen that, and I didn't know that a new song came out.
That was Evelyn Mulcrone, a freshman in NU's School of Communication and longtime Swiftie. As someone who's also a fan, I was excited to share the track with her and hear her opinions. Here's what she had to say after her first listen.
So what are your, like, first thoughts, first reactions to this?
I feel like it doesn't sound very similar to other Taylor Swift and, like, what I know of Ed Sheeran. It kind of sounds like a movie score a little bit, like some of the orchestrations, I think, kind of sound like that. It just sounds like really different than anything that I've heard them do. It seemed very like sad and mellow. And I really liked the duet at the end where they were both singing. I thought that was really nice. When she was kind of in, like, a higher voice than, like, how she sang her verse. I really liked that. I thought it was a nice change from what I'm used to from both of them.
Madill freshman Fiona Roach also had only good things to say about the collab.
I really like this song. I always really enjoy when Taylor Swift and Ed Sheeran work together. And I think it was a really cute parallel to their song Everything Has Changed that was originally released a while ago on Red and then was just re-released on Red Taylor's version. So I really like their friendship. I think they have a really good vibe together and their voices sound really good together.
The music video parallels their earlier collaboration for Everything Has Changed off of Swift's Red album, which was released over 10 years ago. It featured the same actors as the original, only as grown-ups instead of kids. It acts as the perfect interruption of Swift's nostalgic album re-recordings, catering to the many older fans that have been with her since the release of her first few albums.
Can you tell me a little bit about, like, your history with Taylor Swift?
So I started listening to Taylor Swift, I think, when I was in kindergarten. My mom was a really big fan, and that's kind of how I started listening to her. I've been to 4 Taylor Swift concerts, and I've also been to an Ed Sheeran concert. So I'm a big fan. Taylor Swift, honestly, I've been a fan my whole life. Like, all of her albums, I feel like I grew up with her because my music taste kind of evolved as her artistry evolved. So she started in country when I was younger, and then when I was more in like middle school, high school, she moved into pop, and now she's moving into like indie. So I feel like her music style has kind of like guided my music taste.
Although Swift's style has changed dramatically over the years, she maintains a loyal fan base, while her more recent transition towards a more folk indie music style has received both praise and criticism. Swift's success continues to grow. Here's what Roach had to say about it.
I think it's really cool that she is so versatile and she can do so many different sounds. And I know I get kind of annoyed when people critique her and say she should have never left country, because I think some of her best work is what she's done in pop and in like the folklore and Evermore eras. And I think it's just interesting to see the different sides of her and the different facets of her like talent and her work. So honestly, I'm such a huge fan. Anything she does, I think I would support. But I'm really excited about like the recent eras with like the indie songs.
Right.
Finally, I asked Roach the question that all Swifties want answered. What will Swift release next?
I'm a big fan of the fan theories that I see on Instagram and TikTok and Twitter. And I think the next re-recorded album will be 1989. Because I have a feeling it's going to come out in like May or June, because she has, between Fearless TV and Red TV, she waited 7 months. So that would be 7 months from Red TV would be like May. And I think just after the emotional wreckage that Red left behind, I think 1989 would be the perfect album to re-record next, because it's so fun. It's such a summer album. I have heard some theories about Speak Now being next, which I would also be thrilled about, but I don't know. I just have a feeling it's going to be 1989.
For WNUR News, this is Izzy Perea.
And out there in oddities, the figure skating events for the 2022 Olympics concluded last week. The world tuned in to watch Japanese legend Yuzuru Hanyu and new world champion Nathan Chen's performances. Reporter Pari Pradhan explains what the hype is all about and what makes Hanyu and Chen so special. This package originally aired last week on February 9th.
The 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing officially opened on February 4th and will continue on until February 20. However, one of the main attraction events finished earlier this week, figure skating. The entire world tuned in to see what new choreography the skaters would unveil, but special attention was on 2 male skaters, Yuzuru Hanyu and Nathan Chen. Yuzuru Hanyu is a Japanese figure skater and 2-time Olympic gold medalist. Other than the Olympics, he has won 4 Grand Prix finals, 4 continents, is a 6-time Japanese national champion, and much more. Over the course of his career thus far, Hanyu has broken world records 19 times, including being the first skater in history to surpass 100 points in a short program, which is the 2-minute 40-second skate that skaters do on the first day of competition, and 200 points in his free skate, which is the 4-minute 30-second long skate that occurs in the following days. These record-breaking high scores also led him to being the first ice skater to ever get over 300 points in his overall program. As you can tell by his plethora of accolades, Yuzuru Hanyu is widely regarded as one of the, if not the, best figure skaters of all time, and is a living legend. Nathan Chen, on the other hand, is an American figure skater, current undergraduate student at Yale, and now the 2022 Olympic champion. At only 22 years old, he has already won 3 world championships, the 2017 Four Continents, and 3 Grand Prix finals. Chen is often called the Quad King, referring to his almost superhuman ability to complete quadruple jumps on the ice. In figure skating, a quadruple jump refers to a jump where the skater completes 4 full rotations in the air. There are a variety of jumps in figure skating, each differing based on how the skater takes off. For example, a loop jump requires skaters to take off on the backward outside edge of their blade and then land on the same foot. Other jumps have different requirements regarding their takeoff and landing positions, each with different difficulties. Nathan Chen was historically the first to land 5 different types of quadruple jumps in competition and 8 quad jumps overall in a single competition at the 2018 World Championships. Even though he's only 22, we can see that Chen has established himself as one of the best figure skaters in the world already. The hype surrounding Chen and Hanyu this year made men's figure skating feel like the main event of the 2022 Olympics. Of course, their respective achievements and status at the top of the world attracted the two men a lot of attention. But this attention was only magnified by the circumstances surrounding their performances this year. Ice skating fans highly anticipated Chen's short program in particular. During the 2018 Olympics, Chen severely underperformed during his short program. The Quad King suffered from multiple tumbles, causing him to rank 17th after the short program when he was considered a contender for first place. In his following free skate, however, he added an extra impromptu quad jump, which caused him to score highly enough to end up in 5th place. Many fans hoped this year's Olympics would serve as a redemption for Chen and finally get him on the Olympic podium. Hanyu's performance was highly anticipated, as he said he would be attempting a quadruple axel, a jump that has never even been tried on the Olympic stage. The quadruple axel has always been considered impossible due to its incredibly high difficulty. Here is a 2018 clip of Olympian Jason Brown explaining the axel jump.
So the axel is probably the easiest jump to recognize. It is the only jump that takes off completely forward. The other part about axel jumps are that they add another half rotation because you take off forward and we always land backwards. So if you're doing a single, it's a single and a half. Doubles, double and a half, triple, triple and a half. No one has ever yet competed with a quad axel. That would be 4.5, which would be insane, but you never know.
As Brown stated, no one had ever competed with a quad axel before. However, Hanyu decided to attempt the impossible at the Olympics this year. When the day for the short program finally rolled around, Chen ended up completing a near-perfect performance that caused him to break Hanyu's previous world record short program score of 111.82 with 113.97 points. Hanyu, however, had an unfortunate mishap where a hole in the ice caused him to miss one of his jumps. He still ended the program with an incredibly high score, but was ranked in 8th place. While fans and Hanyu himself were discouraged by the issue caused by elements out of his control, they all still looked forward to his free skate. They felt that since the gold seemed out of his reach, he had nothing to lose when attempting the quad axel. It seems that this year, Hanyu's focus was less on racking up as many points as possible and finishing with winning scores, and more on accomplishing his dreams of landing the quad axel and pushing himself past the limits of what is considered possible. When the time for the free skate came around, Hanyu was skating on an injured ankle and was unfortunately unable to land the quad axel, as he landed on his back after completing his rotations. However, it seemed that he was able to get the full 4.5 revolutions in the air that was required of the jump, making his attempt the closest anyone has ever gotten to completing a quadruple axel. This accomplishment in and of itself shows that despite already being 27 years old, which is past the age that many skaters have already retired, Hanyu continues to prove himself as a living legend. Chen's following free skate program to Elton John's Rocketman contained 5 different quad jump combinations. He ended his free skate with 218.63 points, skyrocketing him to the top of the leaderboard and landing him an Olympic gold medal. Silver went to 18-year-old Yuma Kageyama, and bronze went to 24-year-old Shoma Uno, both of whom are rising skating powerhouses from Japan. Yuzuru Hanyu came in 4th place. Nathan Chen's victorious performances and Yuzuru Hanyu's sheer determination and boundary-bending aspirations perfectly showcase why the two are considered the best skaters in the world today. What attracts people to Hanyu and Chen and figure skating overall is not just the flashy costumes and pretty choreography, it's the way these skaters strive to achieve the impossible. I personally am grateful to get to witness Hanyu, Chen, and all the other skaters on the world stage continue to push the boundaries of human accomplishment and take the sport to new physical and artistic heights. For WNUR News, I'm Pari Pradhan.
Now, here are some of today's headlines collected by WNUR reporter Madison Bratley. Northwestern's women's lacrosse team defeated Marquette Monday night with a score of 24-13 in the Wildcats' first home game of the season. The Inside Lacrosse poll ranked Northwestern's women's lacrosse as fifth in the nation. The Wildcats have another home game on Sunday against Arizona State. Evanston City Council plans to spend $70,000 to hire an executive recruitment firm tasked with finding a new permanent city manager. This comes after a previous search's final candidate ultimately declined the position. Chicago Public Health Commissioner Dr. Allison Arwadi suggested Chicago could lift its indoor mask mandate as the Illinois mandate lifts on February 28th if the city's current COVID-19 trend continues. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau invoked emergency powers over current protests of COVID-19 restrictions. Emergency powers could ban the protesters from making the blockades they've created in Ottawa, the country's capital, and target the financial support for the protesters. Taking a look now at the weather. Tonight we've got a 52-degree warm spell, a nice treat in winter if you can get past 17-mile-per-hour winds and rain all night. Tomorrow it drops back down to the high 20s with strong winds all day and some rain or snow mostly in the afternoon. Friday morning, expect teens and low 20s with a bit of sun and a break from the precipitation. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more news updates and reports, follow us on our Twitter at WNUR News and on our Instagram at WNUR News 893. You can listen to these and other stories of the day on our Spotify, Google Podcasts, and SoundCloud. You can also find us on our website, wnur.news. Our reporters for today are Catherine Odom, Izzy Pareja, and Pari Pradhan. Our producer today is Jimin Kim. From all of us here at WNUR News, I'm Seeger Gray. Catch our next news show on Friday, February 18th at 6 p.m. Thank you for listening. Now back to scheduled programming.